This week's Parsha is Parsha Shmos. For those people who are in different world countries and types of yeshivas, this happens to be a discussion. I mentioned the word or the abbreviation a few times earlier on, and some people have just heard of it the first time right now, called Shovavim. Shovavim stands for Shmos Va'era Bo B'Shalach Yisra Mishpatim, and usually in a leap year like this year, it says Shovavim Tat Trumot Tetzavim. These are 6 to 8 weeks of time that are designated to working on ourselves. The reason why is the Parshios, in a very specific way, the Parshios are about Gullus to Geula. Starting from Shmos, is now it's called Sefer HaGeula, because we leave the existence of servitude and slavery to a different world entirely. And the point of that is that we have the opportunity, if we spend our time well, and we know what we're doing, to direct, to develop from a state of Gullus to a state of Geula in the time of Shovavim. Now, usually the discussions about in Shovavim are about Shmiras HaBris, Shmiras HaEinayim, that's usually what people discuss about. We're not going to get into that topic so much right now, but we will certainly discuss the idea of bettering oneself and how do we go about really improving on our actions and on our deeds. I mentioned a few weeks ago, and I'll do it now as well, there are sometimes in the Torah you're given a little sweet taste of the beauty of Torah and the depth of Torah. And I quoted a few things a little while ago in my Parsha Vayigash. This week I always quote the following drasha, do it every single year, and it's such a wow, Torah is so deep moment. I'll do it for you very briefly right now. We all know, we're supposed to be in Mitzrayim for how many years? For 100 years. This is not part of my Dvar Torah, it's an introduction to the sweetness and depth of Torah. For 100 years. We were only there for how long?
210.
I mean, we left how early? 190 years early. Okay, we're supposed to be at 400 years. We left 190 years before we were supposed to. Now, says the Vilna Gaon again. There's a hint in our parsha. In our parsha, there's a hint to this idea in the very beginning in the Trup. I mentioned before you had a Trup of our Torah. Here's what the Trup says. It says at the very beginning that the Ta'amim of the Torah. It says at the very beginning of the parsha. It says, they made our lives bitter with great work. In Perak Aleph, Pasuk Yudal, and Sefer Shmos, and Parsha Shmos, they made our lives very bitter. Kadma v'azla, what does it mean in English? Kadma v'azla? What's that? Kadma? Got up? Azla? And went. Got up and went. The gematria of Kadma v'Azla. Kuf, Dal, Mem, Aleph, v'Azla. Kadma, Kuf is 100, right? Dal is 4, Mem is 40, Aleph is 1, equaling 145. Plus v'Azla, 6, 1, 7, 30, 1, 37, 8, 9, 45. Plus 45 equals 190. We got up and we left. Kama v'azla, 190 years early. You know why? Because v'ayimaru eschayehem, ma kesher. They made our lives so bitter that they squeezed for 100 years of slavery into 210 years of actual time. And therefore, for that reason, we get up and we leave. Kama v'azla, 190 years early. Vilna Gaon, it's this idea, it's not all related to our Torah. Sometimes you find depth of Torah you never thought possible. The level of the knowledge and of understanding of wisdom found in Torah is unbelievable. But not my intention to focus on that at all. I just want to kind of give you a little treat, a little dessert before we get to the actual dinner part. Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu, the most probably famous character in the entire Tanakh. Certainly, from this point forward, he is our hero until the Chumash ends. From this point forward. But his life in the early years are very unknown. We meet him. He's born early. His parents are worried about him. They hide him in a teva, put him on the Nile. Bas Paro finds him. Next thing we know, he's going out to town, seeing what's happening in the world, and he acts out right away. Two separate maisim, one with a non-Jew and a Jew, the other with a Jew and a Jew. He runs away, and he disappears for the next 60-ish years. Only reappear again when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to him and says, I want you to go back. You're ready to go back now and take Klal Yisrael out. How did he become Moshe Rabbeinu? What about him led to that process to be the chosen one? Now, Aaron was a big tzaddik. Aaron Cohen was a big tzaddik. He lives in Mitzrayim with everyone else. What was Moshe? Who was Moshe? What did he do that gave him this ability to be the leader? We find so little about him. And what we know, even a lot we know, is even Midrashim. So where in the Pesukim do we find anything at all that gives us the hope that he is the man? I'll read you some Pesukim inside. It will be the basis of our discussion. Then we'll analyze just a few comments on it, and we'll tell a story or two and call it a day. Perek Beis Pasuk Yud-Aleph, the beginning of Shlishi in this week's Parsha. Vayhi bayimim ahim, vayigdal Moshe vayetzei alacha vayar besiv lo samen. In those days, by the way, the Pasuk that follows Bas Paro naming Moshe, Moshe. Those days, Moshe gets older, goes out to his brothers, and he sees their suffering. He sees a Mitzri man hitting a Jewish man and one of his brothers. He turns this way and that way until there's no one around. And he hits the Mitzri and he buries him in the sand. Next pasuk, Pasuk Yigimel. He goes the second day, sees two Jews fighting together. Says to Rasha, why are you hitting your friend? But Yomer, the Jew says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Misamcha li'ish sar b'shafet aleinu. Who placed you as a ruler over us? Who are you to talk to me that way? V'ha'argenu atah Omer, kasharmartas a mitzri. You want to kill me like you killed the mitzri also? V'yirah Moshe, Moshe became afraid. V'yomer, achein noda davar. The matter has been known. Now what that means is one of two things, the matter has been known. Either it means, oh, it's out there, everyone knows what I did. Or now I understand why these people are where they are today. Now I get it. Either way, Power hears about it. There's a whole chase. The Medrash describes they actually caught Moshe Rabbeinu, took him to be executed. His neck turns to marble. The attempts at the execution are rebutted, and he runs away to Midian to be hidden away for the next 60-ish, maybe 65, 68 years until he comes back again to save the Jewish people. What is this story? Rashi adds in the following words, I'll read the words inside to you, when it says, Vayigdal Moshe v'yetzi alecha v'yar b'siv losam, is the following blushum. Nasan eina v'libo lios meitzar leim. Moshe Rabbeinu placed his eyes and his heart to be concerned over the Jewish people. What did Rashi add? What was the chiddush Rashi brought? He saw their suffering, he placed his eyes and his heart. What is going on over here? There's really three separate ways we serve. We are who we are. Bin Adam l'makom, how we treat Kadosh Baruch Hu. Bin Adam l'chaveiro, treat our fellow man. Bin Adam l'atzmo, how we treat ourselves. I'm going to skip the first one, even though it's a talk of many things we have between us and Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm skipping that one right now. We speak about this regularly, but between us and our fellow man, and us and ourselves, we speak a little bit less regularly about. I want to focus on the Bin Adam l'chaveiro goal and role that we have as Jews. The Chassam Sofer says in the Pasuk, it says, V'yisem niki'im me'ashem v'misrael. You have to make sure that you are naki, you are clean, you have no blemishes regarding how you treat God and how you treat your fellow man. The Chassam Sofer says, it is so much harder to do well in the second part of that statement. It is not, I know it's hard for maybe us to think about it, it's not so hard to be good to you and Hashem. It's not so hard. Hashem gave you life. It's not difficult to realize how much I curse my own because Baruch Hu. But for me to care for my fellow man, it's almost impossible. Especially in our chevro we live in. We're constantly giving one-liners and shots. And it's very hard to really care about each other when our entire lives are spent like one-upping and making fun of. And this is how we grow up. We were raised on television shows. It's all about the one-liner, right retort. The bullying, the insults. So hard to care about your fellow man. Rav Aaron Kotler said Moshe Rabbeinu did two big things here. And one was not so hard, one was very hard. And it's not the way you think it is. The Medrash describes Moshe Rabbeinu heard what happened. He went out to his brothers and he saw people slaving over terribly backbreaking labor. And he decides, I'm getting my sleeves, my sleeves dirty also, my clothes dirty. I'm going to roll my sleeves up and I'm going to lift with them. And he went out and he lifted with them. And he also felt their pain. It is not hard to lift with somebody else when they have a burden. Oh, I'm happy to lift with you. It's not hard to dance at someone's simcha. It's not hard to do that. If you have enough alcohol before you go, right? It's not so hard. Even not having alcohol is not so hard. You go and you sing and you dance. It's not that hard. But you know the hardest to cry at someone's funeral when it's not your loved one? When you watch your friend in pain, to actually feel pain is really, really difficult. You know why? Because it didn't affect me. I feel bad for that guy. I sympathize with him. I sympathize. I feel bad. But to actually be in pain over it, it's nearly impossible. Moshe Rabbeinu nason eina v'libo. He put his heart and he put his eyes and he mamish was in pain. He helped out because he couldn't think of any other way to be involved, but he couldn't bear to watch them do this. Beautiful from Moshe Rabbeinu, but how do I feel pain? So okay, it's a nice story, nice idea. We mentioned in the past, you kind of bump into a story in the news of some terrible story that happened, sounds so painful. And we just like move on, check our, as I mentioned before, you want to see what happened in last night's game because you want to see if your team did well. After watching the tsunami that did actually happen recently and killed hundreds of people, blew a whole band off the stage and killed people afterwards. And we're like, well, it's a crazy story. And then you move right on past it to see whether the Clippers won last night or not. Okay? How do I feel pain? It's not me. It's across the world. I don't even know what happened to him. So there's a sefer called Zav Mishpah, written by Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapira. Actually, Rav Reichman's Rebbeim here, he went to yeshiva there called Ber Yaakov. He's one of the first yeshiva there. So he explains the following stories. He says, the Chafetz Chaim in World War I did not sleep in his bed. He slept on the kitchen floor. Because how could he sleep in his bed when there are people in the world, Jews among them, who are being drafted in the army, who are being slaughtered and killed, World War I, not World War II even. He couldn't sleep in his bed. Reb Chaim of Brisk, there was a terrible fire that broke out in Brisk. And people, much of the community lost their homes. Reb Chaim's home was not burned down. But he didn't sleep in his home afterwards, until every other home was built up again. He slept in the base of Medrash. Why? Because how can I live my life like everything is normal when there's someone else who's in pain in my community? The reason we don't feel it is because we don't let ourselves feel it. Something called, we have Zeicher L'Churban. You have an area of your home that is that's left unfinished. Why do we have that? Because you're supposed to feel pain. But it's so backwards now. Anyone been to a wedding recently? You hear the chassan breaks the glass, mazel tov, right? A waiter drops a glass of wine in the restaurant, mazel tov. You know what the glass breaking is for? Because we have a lacking among us that we're no base in Middash anymore. We break the glass while we sing Meshchech Yerushalayim. I don't want to forget Yerushalayim. And yet we forgot why we're breaking the glass. And we think that glass breaking is a mazel tov. It's supposed to be reminding us that we're not complete. It's like the Chafetz Chaim, sat in the kitchen floor. I was like, oh, can I sit in the kitchen floor with you also? It's so nice over there on the kitchen floor. I want to sit there also. It's not supposed to be nice. It's supposed to be a pain for us. Maybe you'll tell me, listen, it's the Chafetz Chaim, it's the Chaim of Brisk. I'll tell you a story of a friend of mine. I assume you've all heard of Gilad Shalit. I assume you've all heard of him. If not, you should read up on Israel, and your brother and the Jews more often. Years ago, he's released, I don't know how it was, maybe 3 years ago he's released already? I don't know how long ago it was. 3 years ago, something like that? More than that? 6 years ago he's released? He was captured, and he was imprisoned for, how many years? 8 years? Something like that? Whatever it was, a long time. I never met Gilad Shalit. He's a person who's probably your age when the whole thing took place, maybe a little younger than you, maybe. Maybe closer to your age, maybe he's in the army, but I don't know how old he was, but he was young. And he was kidnapped. And he was, they didn't know if he was alive for a little bit. They know he's alive. Afterwards, he was locked away. Who knows how he was treated for years upon years. And we all lived our lives as if nothing happened. We felt bad. We read about it. We heard, let's go to Washington and protest and march. And so my friend, Rav Jake Vidomlansky, who's one of the Rebbeim in Leva Torah, works in Moshavah. Maybe you heard him beforehand. So he said, I can't just go on my life afterwards like this. Now he was a big, I know it's not such a big deal, but he was a big Coke drinker. Loved drinking Coke. Like that was like his like water was, you know, his people's water is his Coke. He couldn't like survive without it. And he said, I'm not going to drink Coke except for Shabbos and Yontif until Gilad Shalit is free. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's not like, hey, he can survive on water. Maybe he'll, you know, he'll have lemonade. There's other nice drinks out there. But he did something to his life because he felt like, I'm not going to just act like nothing's happened. I'm going to do something differently now because how can I be where I am right now when someone close to my age, a little younger than we are, not we, me, him, is suffering. We don't feel it because we don't do anything different in our lives to feel it. We'll wear a bracelet, someone who we know is sick, on our arm, and that's going to do it. Because when I take it off and I see it, I remind myself for a brief second, my life goes just the same with it or without it. I don't do anything. I'm not making any efforts to remind myself of something bad going on right now. I don't know what to tell you to do, what effort to make. But when Klal Yisrael is suffering and you act like nothing's going on around you, it makes us just cut off from our brothers. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to be cut off. My brother's in pain. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going out to the front line to do something about it. I don't care even what happens to me afterwards. Can you imagine? He lives in the palace. His grandfather, step-grandfather, Bas Paro's father is Paro. That's why she's called Bas Paro. He made a decree that you shouldn't slay them. And here, imagine what happened. He hears about his step-grandson, who he raised in the palace, helping out these low-life slaves. Do you understand the risk that he took in doing that? He didn't care. Because how could he go about his life when someone else is in pain? There's a story that I read one time in Pesach Kron's book. There was a woman who was, grew up in Russia. She was born in Russia. She lived in Russia. And she had a child in Russia. And it was a boy. At the time, the Russian people would not allow any religious practices being done. And they knew when your baby was born because they had documents from the hospital. And she could not give her son a bris milah. She couldn't. She had to wait until the time came when she'd be able to sneak it in and make it happen, middle of night some night. And she was able to wait when the child was approximately, maybe it was 9 months old, maybe it was a year old maybe. And she was able to do the bris milah to the child at the age of 9 months and finally had the bris milah. And when she was given the child after 9 months of waiting for this to happen, they gave her child her hand and she fainted. They woke her up. Everything okay? And gave the child again. She had a kiss and she fainted. They stopped giving the child. I was thinking it's dangerous to have a child and fainting at the same time. So what's going on here? What? Everything okay? You have an illness we don't know about? She says, no. He says, I'll tell you what happened. From the time the child was born, I knew I had to give it a bris. But I was terrified to do it, as you can imagine. And I knew that if I let myself push it off and push it off, maybe I would never get it done. So I made the following promise to myself. I would never kiss my baby until he had a bris. Never kiss my baby. I haven't kissed my baby for 9 months. My first chance to kiss my baby, or come with emotion, I fainted. Now why'd she make that rule? Because she knew herself, I don't do something differently right now, then I might never do this. I may never give the bris to the kid because it's just too much time and it's just so hard. I have to give myself a threat, some different way of living that will allow me to be who I'm supposed to be in the end. And that made sure that she never passed up on this opportunity to give her kid a bris milah. Because she demanded of herself. She wouldn't live a normal life until she did it. We just don't feel people's pain because we're very comfortable lumping it into some unknown, unnamed person that we don't recognize, we don't relate to at all. But if you understood, Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, it's your brother. Every single person, it's not Stam, it's a brother of yours who just lost their wife in a terrorist attack. It's your brother who just, or your sister, who just lost her baby prematurely because of a terrorist attack. You wouldn't be like, gosh, it stinks. You mourn over it. You feel terrible pain. There's a movie, Schindler's List. Probably many of you, I hope many of you have seen it. You should have seen it. There was one scene. Everything was in black and white except for one scene. Anyone remember? It's a red dress, a little girl with a red dress on. Well, that's such a difference maker. Because you focus on a person. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, everyone here is going to die. Holocaust movie. Everyone's going to die in this picture right now. There was one girl who had a dress on that was the only thing of color in the entire movie. And you couldn't help but watch. And you looked at a person. It's not just an unknown. It's a person. When a person goes through a struggle or a tragedy, how could you not cry over it? You know, we all went to a cemetery 2 days ago. To a cemetery for a friend who we didn't even know, most of us, that he had lost his father when he was 4 months old. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand what it means to never know your father? You don't want to feel pain for him? It didn't look like most of us felt pain. I mean, we felt sorry for him, for sure. But pain? I don't know if we were pained by it. Because even though we know him, we just weren't part of the whole experience. And he has a father right now that he calls dad even. We do not relate to our brother like he's our brother. It's just a story that I'm able to look past and move on with my life. And that's why we would never be Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe put his eyes and his heart and said, this is not okay. We'll do a shorter davening right now, but I just want to say one last point. Moshe's ben Aaron la'atzmo was unparalleled as well. Unparalleled. The Ramban says an unbelievable line. Moshe found out he was Jewish the day he went out to see what was going on with his brothers. That same day he found out about it. He didn't wait. He says, how can I sit in the palace right now and give, despite all the luxuries I have, and let this go on? The day he heard he was a Jew, that day he walked outside. What's happened to my brothers? The moment he killed Dimitri, he knew right away, my life will never be the same, but I cannot stand and watch this. Do you know why? He turned this way, that way. V'yar ki ein ish. There was no one around. You know what I heard one time? I don't know if it's really, it's not shot, but I heard someone say this one time. The person I heard it from, I think, was my good friend, my Rabbi Tanal Leibowitz, who I was a roommate of many years ago, and we were in yeshiva together. He didn't look around like Pastor Pshat would be, is anyone here watching me? He looked at himself. Or even cho v'cho, I look this way myself. If I do it, and that way, if I don't do it, but yarachin ish, I will not be a man if I do not do this right now. I will not live my life right now properly if I do not take care of this injustice going on. And he killed, and according to the drush as well, it's the following lashon. It says, "Vayach es haMitzri b'nei b'chol." He killed the Mitzri and buried him in sand. I heard that person say again, he buried his Mitzri in sand. He was mostly Mitzri, only a little bit Jewish. He said, "I will not live my life this way. I will not be the man." We say, "A Ish Moshe. I won't be a Ish Moshe ever again if I don't do this right now." And he buried that part of him forever. After knowing he was a Jew for less than 24 hours. You know why? Because I can't look in the mirror later on knowing what I just did and what I just watched. He found out minutes ago he was a Jew. Minutes ago. You ever see Back to the Future 1? It was this time when Michael J. Fox, Marty McFly, as he was known, was like, as he was in the past, his like arm started to like, he started to lose his arm. It was turning invisible. I don't remember the scene at all, but as he was affecting the past, he wouldn't exist in the future potentially. And he saw his arm like not, it wasn't here anymore. He was like looking, it wasn't here anymore. Moshe Rabbeinu Lahavdil was watching his life and it wouldn't be. He wouldn't be an Ish. He wouldn't be the man. He'd be just a regular guy. Maybe he'd be rolled to Mitzrayim. It's not what he was cut out. That's not what he's supposed to be doing here. He buried himself that day. And he was called Moshe. Why was that name he was given? He was given many names. Avigdor, Tuvia. Why was he called Moshe? His non-Jewish mother made up the name. Because I pulled him from the water. You know what Bas Parva did by bringing Moshe Rabbeinu into the house of her father? She risked her life also. Mesiris Nefesh. Minamai Mishiyu means that she drew him from the water at a risk of her own well-being. She could have been killed for this treason that she did. But she did it anyways. Mesiris Nefesh. Moshe Rabbeinu became Moshe Rabbeinu for two reasons. Because he could not bear to watch someone else in pain. And because he couldn't bear to be a less version of himself. Neither one was acceptable to him. Put those two together and you have a hero. A hero. There are those of us who are able to go to one part or maybe the other or maybe neither. But the world is missing people who are caring of both. I understand we feel pain for other people. We feel bad for them. We don't feel their pain. I feel bad for them. But I'm in pain over it? Would I sleep on the kitchen floor because I heard of a tragedy of someone who's a loved one or even not a loved one? I never heard of a person, but I just heard a name. I don't think I'd do that. Tisha B'Av. I'll have one less pillow. I'll sleep with him. Tisha B'Av. That's our version of remembering what we're missing. A broken glass at a wedding. I'm Yotzei Zeichel L'Churban. What are we doing in our lives right now to realize that we're missing something big? Based on Mikdash, anti-Semitism in the world, what are we doing differently about our lives than every other human in the world? I don't forget Jew, human. Nothing. Nothing. And Davin, we make a Hiratzo, and we ask for Binyam Shalayim, if we have Kavan Har Tefillah, if we remind him of Davin in the first place. What are we doing? Nothing. What are we doing for ourselves when we fall short of greatness? What do we do when we have a bad Seder that day? When I'm comfortable being an average person? What am I doing to change that around about myself? Nothing. Nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu was our hero and is in the Hall of Fame because these two areas he excelled in. I will not be an Ish if I do that. I don't want to do that then. I want to be an Ish. My brother's pain is the reason for me to change what I do on a regular basis because I want to care more. Shovim is a time for you to realize what we are doing with our lives. How do I do a better job with my heart? What I look at? What I do? How could I behave in certain ways that I know will make me a worse version of myself? We have 8 weeks Shovim Tat, it's a leap year, to work on ourselves. Doesn't mean stam, let's have nice ideas, I'll learn extra. No, it doesn't mean that. It means I need a real makeover right now. That I can be in Israel and have a tragedy happen in the country with brothers of mine, sisters of mine, and not lose some sleep over it? And do nothing differently in my life? It means something is wrong with me. I'm callous. If I were in the palace of the king, I would have stayed there. I would have peeked out the windows, looked through the blinds. Oh, those are Jews. That's what me. Oh, gosh, that sounds terrible. Thank God they don't know about me. Baruch Hashem, we're young. 18 years old, 19 years old. We have so much ahead of us. This is the middle of a very important year. A very important time in our lives. To be able to take back what's supposed to be ours. To follow the Moshe Rabbeinu model. Bin Adam L'Makom. Bin Adam L'Chaveru. And Bin Adam L'Atzmo. Will hopefully be the recipe for us having tremendous success this year and our life in general. A beautiful Shabbos.